when those who are closest to you look at stoning you, when you think that you don't have a friend left in the world, when it seems like you are lonely, isolated on the island all by yourself, do what David did. The choir sang, I'm going to dance like David danced. I'm going to sing like David sang. I'm going to pray like David prayed. And you know what? Pastor Glaze just added a new stanza to that song. I'm going to be encouraged like David was encouraged.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. I'm Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement.
Then we will be your servants, but if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Fear caused them to be what? Dismayed or discouraged. When you are afraid of something, you will become discouraged. And you will not want to deal with that thing because of discouragement. Contributing factors to discouragement. We need to watch out for fatigue. We need to watch out for frustration. We need to watch out for failure. And we need to watch out for fear. So here's David. Unpredicted attack. Unexpected loss. Uncertainty about some things he had done in the past. An anticipated rebellion by his soldiers. Undecided to do about the future. Here he is. What does he do? Oh, thank God. Thank God, thank God. For verse 6, look at the end of verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. When there's nobody else around, when those who are closest to you look at stoning you, when you think that you don't have a friend left in the world, when it seems like you are lonely, isolated on the island all by yourself, do what David did. The choir sang, I'm going to dance like David danced. I'm going to sing like David sang. I'm going to pray like David prayed. And you know what? Pastor Glaze just added a new stanza to that song. I'm going to be encouraged like David was encouraged. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And you know, I began to look at this and I say, well, what does it mean to encourage? This word encourage comes from a word, Hebrew word, that means to be strong. And what it means is to give strength to one who is in an emotionally weak state. David was emotionally weak. He had been worn down and worn out. He needed some encouragement. He couldn't turn to his general because he had a stone in his hand. He couldn't turn to his wife because she was off somewhere else. The only place that David could turn was to the Lord God Almighty. And he turns to the Lord. And you know, David wrote several psalms during times of his discouragement. Let's just look at the title of a couple of these psalms that David wrote when he was discouraged. Look in Psalm 3. Psalm 3. Now, we're not going to read the psalm. Those of you who took my Old Testament survey class know that there are things before the psalm starts, and these are called superscriptions. And these superscriptions deal with different background materials to the psalm. And in Psalm 3, it tells us the occasion that David wrote the psalm. Look at the beginning of Psalm 3, not verse 1, but before verse 1. It says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Now, how many people think, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many people think that David was discouraged when he ran from Absalom? I think he was. Man, his own son was after him. His own son was after him. And no doubt that David was discouraged when his son sought his life. And what did David do? David wrote a song. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Here was David hiding out in the cave. And it says in before verse 1, once again, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. You remember Abimelech was after David, and David was no doubt discouraged because Abimelech was after him. And David took spit and he put it all over his beard. And he came out there with his eyes all big and he was looking like a crazy man. And the man said, "We're not going to mess with this guy. Let's leave him alone." And they let David alone. And what did David do? David wrote a psalm as a result of his discouragement in that time. Look at Psalm 56. Psalm 56. It says, "To the chief musician upon Jonath-Elam-Rebokim." This is a miktam. And the word miktam actually means that it's a poem. It's a poem of David when the Philistines took him into Gath. Now, you think when they captured David, that David was discouraged? I believe he was. So here's another psalm that David writes out of his discouragement. Psalm 57. "To the chief musician, El-Tashoheth, a miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave." I think he was discouraged when he was running from Saul. He wrote a psalm when he was discouraged. Look at Psalm 59. Psalm 59. "To the chief musician, El-Tashoheth, a miktam," a poem once again, "of David, when Saul sent," now look at this, "and they watched the house to kill him." They were sitting outside of David's house trying to kill him. Now, wouldn't you be discouraged if you're sitting back in your house and folk out there with rifles pointed, waiting for you to step out the door? And then finally, Psalm 63. It says, "A psalm of David when he was hiding in the wilderness of Judah." So what did David do during the times of his discouragement? During the times of David's discouragement, he wrote a psalm. And you know what? Man, this is amazing. That now here we are. We deal with discouragement all the time. All the time we deal with discouragement. And we're trying to figure out what to do. Well, you don't have to figure out what to do. All you got to do is go back and read some of these psalms that David wrote when he was discouraged, and it'll show you what to do. And so as we look at what does it mean when it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord? Friends turned against him. Family was gone. Plans had failed. Didn't know what to do. And he turns to the Lord for encouragement. What does it mean? You know, when you talk about, well, Pastor Glaze, what do you mean he encouraged himself in the Lord? What does that mean? We're going to find out. What does it mean to encourage yourself in the Lord? The first thing that David did as he encouraged himself in the Lord, if you look at the bottom of your sheet, is that he, look at this now. So somebody hear me now. Somebody hear me on this one. He changed his heart before he changed his circumstance. Wow. Wow. He changed his heart before he changed his circumstances. He knew that the circumstances were overwhelming. He knew that discouragement was all around him. And he knew that something needed to change in him before it changed out here. Psalm 57, one of David's psalms that he wrote during his time of discouragement. In Psalm 57, verse 7, David says here, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." You know what that means? Lord, my heart is changed. My heart was over here, God, on this discouragement. But now my heart is fixed and my heart is changed. And you know what, Lord? Now, just hear the brother. He was discouraged. He was discouraged. And all he did, he went to the Lord and he encouraged himself in the Lord. And he got up after he had encouraged himself in the Lord, shook off the problems, and went on down to the priest and said, look, what are we going to do now? It's time to roll, Jack. You know, we can't be laying back here crying and whining. You know, we done cried our eyes out. We ain't got nothing left to cry. Let's roll. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Man, when you get discouraged, You know, you need to realize that the only thing that's going to change your discouragement is your heart. Your circumstances might not ever change. David said, Lord, my heart is fixed. Oh, Lord, my heart is fixed on you. Lord, I'm going to change my heart. Let me get before you. Let me work on my heart, God, because I can go out here and we can take all these men and we can jump up and down and rally. But Lord, let me change my heart first. Man, when you get discouraged, realize that there needs to be a change in you. Secondly, he turned to God with his whole heart. In the midst of his discouragement, he turns to God with his whole heart. Look at Psalm 63. Once again, another psalm that David wrote when? When he was discouraged. When he was in the wilderness of Judah, hiding out. Verse 1. O God, here he is, discouraged. Thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen in the sanctuary. Then he goes on to talk about, because of thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and my meditation on thee in the night watches. Man, his heart began to search after God. In the midst of his discouragement, he didn't turn to the phone to see how many people he could call and gossip about this person that was discouraging him. In the midst of his discouragement, he didn't try to take the situation into his own hands. But in the midst of his discouragement, David got alone before God and he said, God, I'm hungry for you. Lord, let me get to know you more intimately in my discouragement. I did a funeral yesterday. And one of the things that I was telling the people at the funeral, I said, you know what? It's bad enough that you're here having to deal with the loss of a loved one. I know that you're hurting because you're here dealing with a loved one who has passed away. I said, but you know what? With all this pain that you're going through right now, why don't you open up your heart and let God in? Why don't you reach out to God and say, God, come into this situation. I need you. Because when you get on the other side, it'd be a lot better to know that God came in that situation with you and he helped you to walk through that situation. Man, in the midst of your discouragement, open up your heart to God. You know, don't turn on stuff that's not edifying. You know, get into the word, read the word of God, get into prayer. You know what? You know what I think? I think everybody should have a friend that they can call who will tell them the hard thing. You know, but when we call folk, we want them to pity party with us. We want them to join in with our sympathy. And you know, we need somebody that will call us and just say the hard thing. Look, man, the word of God says that you need to praise the Lord. The word of God said that you need to fix your heart on God. Well, I don't, you know, and y'all, I've heard people, I don't want to hear that right now. I don't want to hear that right now. I know all that. Well, you know what? Maybe you need to hear it again. And maybe you really need to open up your ears and hear it. Yeah, I remember I was watching this show at one time to practice. And there was these lawyers, the DA, they had lost a case. And they were frustrated. And you know, they were just at wit's end as to how they thought they had everything in line. And they had won the case. And they ended up losing the case. And I remember they were sitting at this restaurant. And the lady turned to the man and she said, tell me one more time why we do this. And he just began to recite this creed or something. I'm not sure what it was, but I'm sure it's a creed that they had recited over and over again because he just ran it off word for word. And, you know, sometimes maybe that's what we need. When we get discouraged, we need to be able to call a friend and say, look, I'm discouraged right now. I just need you to tell me something. And for that friend to tell you the hard thing. For that friend to be able to tell you that you need to come on out of that. You know, once again, you know, I find out that, you know, sometimes folk don't want to come out of their pity party. Well, just let me be here for a little while. Well, you know what? If you're going to be there for a while, then you just go ahead and take your lunch and an extra set of clothes while you're there. Because, you know, you're not going to be any good to yourself or anybody else. Come on up out of that discouragement. Let somebody tell you the hard thing. You know, man, it just as a pastor, sometimes it frustrates me. Because that's all I got to tell you. Well, pastor, I don't want to hear that right now. Well, then you don't want to hear me. There's nothing else I can tell you. That's all I can tell you right there. You know, turn to God. When you turn to God with your whole heart, then you will be willing to hear the hard thing. Because you know it's going to help you to get better. We see that he put his trust in God. He not only changed his heart before his circumstances, he turned to God with his whole heart, and also he put his trust in God. Look at Psalm 56, another psalm he wrote when he was discouraged. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. We need to put our trust in God. And you know what? When you put your trust in God, that means you got hope. You know, we have a biblical counseling course here at Bethany Baptist Church. And we do a lot of counseling here. And you know, the one thing that's essential in the counseling is hope. You got to have hope. You're not going to get better if you don't have hope. Yeah, I love what I heard about this guy. Let me share this with you. There was a guy by the name of Lawrence Hanratty. And, you know, you probably never have heard of him before. But the Los Angeles Times named him the unluckiest man in New York City. He was nearly electrocuted to death in a construction site in 1984. For weeks, he lay in a coma, with lawyers fighting for his liability claim until one of them was disbarred and two of them died. Hanratty's wife ran off with her lawyer. Hanratty lost his car in a terrible crash, and when the police left the accident scene, he was robbed. Later, his insurance company fought to cut off his workers' benefits, and his landlord tried to evict him. He suffered from depression and agoraphobia. He took an oxygen canister everywhere with him that he went, and he took 42 pills a day for his heart and liver ailments. A city councilwoman took up his cause, and neighbors began to rally around him. And Lawrence Hanratty summed up his life in three words: there's always hope. There's always hope. All the bad things that happen to you, there's always hope. But let me tell you this, when God is on your side, there's always hope. There's always hope. You never need to despair. You never need to stay in prolonged states of discouragement. Have hope. David said, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I'll have hope in God. And God is going to work out the best in my situation. In 1856, a man by the name of Auguste Bahaudy was called on by the French government to design a lighthouse. They were getting ready to open the Suez Canal, and they wanted a lighthouse that would stand tall and that would shine as people came into the Mediterranean Sea. This gentleman spent 10 years working on this lighthouse, and he didn't have the funds to do it, but he spent all that he had, and he borrowed to get this monument built, designed, and built. And to his surprise, after 10 years, the Suez Canal was opened, and they didn't even notify him. He said to himself, 10 years of my life has been wasted. 10 years of my life has gone down the drain. And then the French wanted to give a gift to America. And they called Augustine. And they asked him to bring that lighthouse because they wanted to give it to the United States. And this lighthouse was a statue of a lady. And it had a torch in one hand and a book in the other. And they summons him to give this lighthouse to the United States, which he was highly compensated for. You know what? Sometimes it seems like your life has been wasted. Sometimes it seems like there's nothing but discouragement in your life. But let me tell you this, that God is able to turn situations around. God is able to take your lighthouse and turn it into the Statue of Liberty, if you will let him. Trust in God. Then I like this. Let me hurry because I'm going to close this morning. But let me hurry. David, in the midst of his discouragement, he got his praise on. Look what he said in Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verses 1 and 2. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Once again, when is he writing? He's writing this. He's writing this when he's discouraged. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Let me just tell you what Pastor Glaze does when he gets discouraged. I get my praise on. I get my praise on when I get discouraged, when I get down and out, when I feel low. Oh, man, my soul gets set on fire. Man, I tell you, just lifted my soul, lifted my spirit. Whatever I was dealing with, whatever was discouraging me, man, just... Didn't for a minute you just feel like, man, somebody might have been standing at your head with a gun. You was ready to get your praise on. You was lifted for a little while. David said in the midst of my discouragement, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Get your praise on. And then finally, let me close out because I got my praise on here. Man, woo. Make sure you give my CD back now, man. All right. I'm gonna get my praise on my way home. I got to hear some more of that, man. He asked God to help him deal with the object of his discouragement. Whatever the object of his discouragement was, David asked God to help him to deal with it. Psalm 59, and I'll close on this right here. Psalm 59. He says, deliver me from my enemies, O God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. He asked God, God, you help me to deal with the object of my discouragement. Lord, whatever it is, maybe it's people, maybe it's circumstances. Maybe it's a problem that I'm dealing with in my own personal life. Lord, you help me to deal with the object of my discouragement. Climbing out of the hole of discouragement.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of moving from phileo to agape. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.